Paint me a heaven with your bloodied mouth. By Ecstasis Wings. Read by Mist Marauder. Buck. It's the first name Eddie knows him by. The only name used in conversations before they meet face to face. Buck is the fun one. Buck is a little reckless. Buck has a heart of gold. Buck is... Buck. Four letters. One syllable. When they do finally meet, and Buck reacts with surly mistrust and stereotypical male posturing, frustration makes the name fit less easily in Eddie's mouth. He has to work to soften the edges of it, blunt the sharp razor edge of the final plosive consonant. But by the time they stumble out of the back of an ambulance, breathless with adrenaline and the high of a successful save, Buck's cheeks are pink and his smile blinding, and the name falls from Eddie's lips like it's lived there for years. Buck. Four letters, one syllable. Eddie knows it's a nickname. He doesn't know why Buck picked it or why Buck seems to use it exclusively, but he figures it isn't really his business, and also that it probably isn't that deep. All of them use nicknames at work, or otherwise in their daily lives. Eddie himself might find it weird if anyone outside of his immediate family suddenly started using his full name regularly, after so many years of only rarely hearing it from anyone else. So, Eddie calls Buck, Buck, and he doesn't think anything of it. At least, not at first. Maddie calls Buck, Evan, which throws him the first time he hears it. When they're helping her move into her new place and Maddie has to run out to the store, she says, "Hey, Eddie, can you tell Evan I'm taking the Jeep? I'll be right back." And Eddie does an internal double take before it clicks. "Yeah," he agrees. "Yeah, of course." It turns over in his head for the rest of the day, lingering around the edges when he looks at Buck. Evan, Evan, Evan. Does Buck look like an Evan? There are a few moments when Eddie notices Buck and Maddie alone, talking quietly in the corner, and Buck is different. Not much, but there's something. A slight shift in his body language, a softer vulnerability. It's like looking at an optical illusion. Eddie blinks, and it vanishes. Buck is just Buck. Four letters, one syllable. There's nothing more to it. Eddie puts the thoughts away. Months later, when Jim is lying unconscious in a hospital bed and Maddie is missing, when Buck is sitting under guard in an uncomfortable chair, looking younger than Eddie's ever seen him, too young and desperate and terrified, Eddie wonders about it again. Buck and Evan. The illusion and the reality. Constructions and walls. Eddie's tempted to pull him in, hold him, like he might comfort Christopher after a nightmare. But he doesn't know how welcome that would be. So instead, Eddie just says, "I have sisters too," and stays. Shannon comes back. Shannon wants a divorce. Shannon dies. And Eddie takes as much time off as he can before being left alone with his own thoughts and a grieving child becomes too much to handle. He needs the job. He needs the distraction. He needs to not be in his house, surrounded by the reminders of his failings as a husband, as a father, as a man. He needs something else to focus on before he snaps. So he goes back to work. And Buck gets crushed by a ladder truck. God has a dark sense of humor. Buck's still in surgery, all of them sitting in the waiting room, when Eddie notices the clock on the wall and swears. "Everything okay?" Bobby asks. Eddie drags a hand over his face, suddenly exhausted. "Christopher, I could call Carla and ask her if she can stay, but... but he just lost his mother, and right now the last thing he needs is you not coming home when you say you're going to." The older man fills in. "Yeah." Bobby squeezes his shoulder. "Go home. We'll stay. It'll be at least a couple more hours anyway. At least one of us should get some sleep." Eddie blows out a breath. "Thanks. Thank you." "No need for that. Go be with your son." Eddie comes back in the morning, after dropping Christopher off at school. He gets as far as the reception desk before realizing that he has no idea where he's going. "Can I help you, sir?" the receptionist asks. "I'm looking for Buck." Eddie clears his throat. "Evan Buckley. He was brought in last night. We work together." He stumbles over it, the formality tying his tongue in knots. It occurs to him that Hen and Chim have both used Buck's real name before, even if usually as a joke. But he never has. Not once. Evan. Evan, Evan, Evan. Eddie stops in the doorway of Buck's room, and his breath freezes in his lungs. Buck looks tired, small, pale, vulnerable. He's washed out by the hospital gown, dwarfed by the mass of white plaster surrounding his leg. Buck, Evan, Buck. This time, the optical illusion doesn't vanish when Eddie blinks. "Hey, Buck," he manages. His voice is steady, even if his heart is not. "Hey," Buck replies, forcing a small, brittle smile. "How are you feeling?" The smile drops off Buck's lips as his face does something complicated. But ultimately, his eyes shutter, his thoughts hidden behind a calm mask. "Fine. Ready to get out of here." "Buck." Eddie doesn't mean to say it. Doesn't mean for his voice to drop into something soft and pleading. Half a censure. But he does. And Buck's throat works hard as he swallows while his head tips back to stare at the ceiling. "Can we talk about something else?" Buck says finally, sounding exhausted. I really want to talk about something else." "Of course we can," Eddie replies. He pulls the visitor chair up to the side of the bed and drops into it. "We can talk about whatever you want, or nothing at all. I just wanted..." There's no easy way to say, "The last time I was with someone I cared about in an ambulance, she died." But Eddie's pretty sure Buck gets it without him needing to say it. "I don't know how things are going to go yet," Buck admits after a moment of silence. "But I'm okay for now. You don't have to worry about me." Eddie's heart stutters. "Of course I do. You're my best friend." But the words catch in his throat. "So," Buck says, his tone all forced brightness, "you looking forward to your shield ceremony?" "Are you?" Eddie asks, the T's coming easily. You're not going to have a Proby to boss around anymore. That wins him a more genuine laugh, and he takes it as a win. Please, like you were ever a normal Proby. We'll be okay, Eddie tells himself, when he leaves an hour later after Buck falls asleep again. Everything will be okay. He really wants to believe it. Eddie notices more over the next several months. Recovery makes Buck sharper. Driven and focused, but also easily frustrated, irritable. Having been through the joys of physical therapy himself, Eddie can relate. But there are other things he notices too. Whether Buck doesn't have the energy, or whether he's more comfortable with Eddie in general, his walls are down more when it's just the two of them, and Eddie sees Evan. In glimpses, in flickers. Long afternoons of PT that leave them both tired, and late nights on the couch. Saturday morning brunches with Christopher that leave Eddie's kitchen a disaster zone, but never fail to make Buck smile. It's not like Buck is two different people, but sometimes Eddie thinks he's fractured, fragmented, and shoving down the messier, frayed, broken pieces so no one can look at them too closely. Eddie can't judge. He does the same thing. But sometimes, he wants to tell Buck that he sees it. That he sees him. That his broken pieces aren't a bad thing. Sometimes, when he's been drinking or just really tired, he wonders if Buck's shards would fit his own. A kaleidoscope of stained glass, or a puzzle with smoothed edges. He wonders if he could ask without making Buck bolt. He wonders if he would ever be ready for that. If either of them would be. He comes close after the tsunami, when he stands in Buck's loft and says, "There's no one in the world I trust with my son more than you." And Buck stares at him with dark, vulnerable eyes. There's an Evan on his tongue, but he doesn't let it fall. Evan. Evan, Evan, Evan. Four letters. Two syllables. No plosives. Just vowels separated by a soft fricative. Still, Eddie doesn't say it. Not to Buck. Not even aloud to himself. Not after the tsunami. Not after the lawsuit. Not in his kitchen when he says, "We're way past that." And Buck steps in close, his body language open and flirty. For an instant, Eddie imagines breathing it into Buck's mouth as he presses him against the counter. After the well, though, Evan Buckley, Eddie says in his lawyer's office. That's his name. It feels like cheating a little bit. He can say it 100 times. Read it. Write it. Initial next to it. On a will. An advanced directive. On his life insurance beneficiary paperwork, in case something happens to him before Christopher turns 18. He can taste the syllables. Let his teeth catch and drag over his lower lip on the V. His tongue pressed to the roof of his mouth on the N. He can say it as much as he wants. Linger in the secret of it. The intimacy of it. He can say it. He just can't say it to Buck. The will goes in a safe. Eddie locks it away with a letter that he writes to Christopher, just in case. He doesn't write one for Buck. He doesn't know how to start. Where to start. The anniversary of Shannon's death comes and goes, slicing at Eddie's insides and pulling him sharply back to reality from the edge of moving on. I forgave her for everything, and it wasn't enough. I wasn't enough. He has years of memories, mistakes that replay in his head like the greatest hits of his relationship failures, reminding him that he can't, that he shouldn't, that he doesn't know what he's doing, and that he can't take anything else away from Christopher by starting something and messing it up. But God, part of him wishes. They respond to a train derailment, and Eddie watches Buck shatter in slow motion when he comes face to face with his ex, when he finds out that she's engaged. Eddie watches as Buck throws himself into the rescue, like his own safety, his own life, doesn't matter. And he swallows back bitter, vicious anger that rises in his throat like bile. Because Buck deserves so much more, is worth so much more. And maybe Eddie isn't good enough either, but he's pretty sure he could be better for Buck than her. I see you, he wants to say. She didn't. She still doesn't, but I see you. Let me see you. Let me... Buck. 4 letters, 1 syllable. Evan. 4 letters, 2 syllables. Are you okay? Eddie asks, when the rescue is done and the ambulance drives off. What's next? Buck replies. Eddie thinks he gets it. A pandemic hits. Buck starts therapy, and Eddie's glad. But he doesn't realize how much there still is to understand until Buck's parents show up and send Buck into a tailspin. That's when it clicks, where precisely the shattered pieces of Evan came from. The source of all the hurt, the shame, the sharp edges. The urge to say it dims somewhat, Eddie not wanting any association with Buck's parents, but it still sits in the back of his mouth. Something inside of him wants to hiss and spit and put himself between Buck and anyone who might hurt him, especially his parents. He wants to take Buck's bruised and broken heart in gentle hands and seal the cracks with gold. He wants too much. Too much that he has no business wanting. The best thing he can do for Buck's heart is keep himself far away from it. So, Buck says Buck 3.0, and Eddie figures he needs to do something other than standing still. Stuck. Frozen. If a Buck is moving forward, so should he. And it's what's best for Christopher, isn't it? Anna Flores is nice. She's pretty. Dating her doesn't hurt. Admittedly, it doesn't make Eddie feel much of anything else either. But he and Shannon cut each other to ribbons. And he's pretty sure Buck could hurt him worse without even trying. So that's something. " You don't usually get to plan the moments that will change your life forever. Sometimes. Graduations, engagements, weddings. But it's the unexpected moments that usually have the most impact. Eddie didn't plan for his helicopter to fall out of the sky in Afghanistan. He didn't plan on getting shot and medically discharged. He didn't plan on ending up trapped in shadows inside his mind for months after his return, while his marriage disintegrated, slipping through his fingers like sand. He didn't plan on Shannon leaving, or coming back, or dying. Standing on the streets of L.A. in broad daylight, in the middle of a conversation, he certainly doesn't expect a bullet to rip through his back, shoulder, chest. The pain not registering until after he sees his blood splash across Buck's face. Buck. Evan. He's frozen. They're both frozen. Staring. Suspended in time. Eddie can't make his mouth work. Can't speak. Can't breathe. His fingers twitch in Buck's direction. Make sure you're following your heart, not Christopher's. He was afraid. Afraid of hurting Buck. Afraid of being hurt. Afraid of the risk. He never even considered this. His blood is on Buck's face. On his mouth. In his mouth. If Eddie could breathe, he might almost laugh. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you. He wasted so much time, and now he'll never be able to say any of it. Evan. 4 letters. 2 syllables. Eddie can't even manage 1. He's falling. 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 Even when he hits the ground, he still feels like he's in free fall. The last thing he sees is Buck's face. He tastes blood in his mouth. Eddie doesn't expect to wake up. In the fluorescent lights of a hospital room, everything looks different than in bright sunlight. In the fluorescent lights of a hospital room, Eddie is reminded that he has a girlfriend, that he can't yank the rug out from under his son when he's just almost died, that nothing is different. Nothing is different. Except, I think it would have been better for him if I was the one who got shot, Buck says. And Eddie viscerally recoils, because he understands where it comes from, understands what Buck is thinking, what Evan is thinking. He sees it, and he can't stand it. There's a will in a safe. Maybe it's time to admit that. Eddie doesn't look at him. It feels unsafe, risky. His veins are full of painkillers, and his heart is in his throat, and he's not convinced that Buck won't see right through him. Why are you telling me now? Buck asks, his voice oddly tight. It may be the most selfish thing Eddie has ever done. But it's been 2 years since the name first tripped off his tongue, and he's never once used it with Buck. He wants to know what it's like. Just once. Just once, and then maybe he can let this go. That's a hopeless endeavor. Eddie's pretty sure that by now, Buck is under his skin, hooked into his soul. But he can pretend. Because, Evan, Eddie replies. And it tastes sweet. It fizzes on his tongue like the first sip of champagne. Fresh and new and buzzing. He wishes he could say it again. Slow it down. Savor it. But that would reveal too much. You act like you're expendable. But you're wrong. I see you. I know you. I love. One time. He gets to say it once. That's the deal. He can content himself with once. Lie. It feels like a claim. Fierce and possessive. And he wants to be the only one to say it with that kind of intention. Evan. 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 I see you. See me. It takes another year before Eddie says it again. A year full of panic, full of distance. A year of hurting one another without realizing, without even meaning to. A year of hiding, a year of running away. There's blood on Buck's mouth again, but it isn't Eddie's. I should have been there. The censure echoes through his head, even as his hands work on autopilot. Searching, probing, trying to find the worst injury. He's been at the academy, not on active duty. He only came to the scene because there was a call put out for extra paramedics, and he was close by. He didn't expect, he never thought. You could have my back any day. Or you could have mine. He left. He left, and so he wasn't there. He wasn't there, and Buck is bleeding. I'm okay, Buck wheezes, and Eddie's head jerks up. Fell through the floor and hit my head. A little dazed, but I feel I'm okay. It wasn't very far. You're bleeding, Eddie says without thinking. Bit my tongue pretty bad when I hit my head. I promise I'm not coughing up blood. Again. Icy fear and warm relief war within him as he pushes up Buck's undershirt to check for bruising or discoloration. Eddie. Buck's voice is tired and rasping, but there's a thread of rich fondness weaving through it. If there's anything wrong with me, I have a concussion. Nothing worse. I'm really okay. Yeah, well, I'm a better medic than you, Evan, so I'll be the judge of that, he snaps. Buck goes very still. What is it? Eddie asks. You called me Evan. The fondness shifts to curiosity. Eddie swallows. He looks away. Yeah, well, it's not the first time. No, it's not, Buck agrees. You said it in the hospital, too. Kind of hard to forget. Eddie's hand's still against Buck's chest. Eddie, look at me. and Daddy can't deny him. Why did you say it? He spent years lying and shoving things down and killing himself, hurting them both. And now he's looking Buck in the eyes, and he's so tired of pretending. Because I wanted to. Buck's eyes search his face. Why? Because... Every word Eddie has ever known flies out of his head. And he can't. He wants. He closes the gap and kisses Buck. The coppery tang of blood bursts on his tongue, and Buck makes a sound that makes Eddie start to pull back. But Buck's hands fist into the front of his shirt to keep him there. Are you in love with me? Buck breathes. Because, look, I know I'm a mess, but... Eddie kisses him again. Yes, he replies. Yes, Evan, I'm in love with you. All of you. Well, that's good then, Buck admits. Since I've been in love with you for... God, I don't even know. Maybe the whole time? I wasn't ready. Buck's hand comes up to slide around the side of Eddie's neck, his thumb stroking the edge of Eddie's jaw. I know. Neither was I, but I think I could be now, if you are. There's blood on Eddie's tongue, on Eddie's lips. Sacred and profane. This is the blood of the new covenant. Yes. Another kiss. Yes. And Buck? Evan? Kisses him back. The end.